shows up. I was coming with the expectation that we will encounter the tangible presence of God today in our midst. And as we began to hear his words written in 2012, not in first century, not about 2,000 years B.C., but the words you just heard today were written this year at the beginning of 2012, and they're just as valid as the Holy Bible that we read daily. Because the word that was delivered this morning to us is a word in the now, but it is equally important as the word that has been written in the 66 books of the Holy Bible. When the Lord gives us a rhema word, a word that is active and it speaks into your situation now, it always aligns with the scriptural truth in the 66 books in the Holy Bible. But it has something to do with the season of life you're in. And so today I also am bringing one of those words. This is just amazing. We're just going to be sharing directly from the heart of the Lord. And I have tons of scriptural references to go through. But I'm really bringing us today a word, a very fresh word that the Lord spoke to me during Christmas week. And I pondered on it, and I invited the Holy Spirit to give me a deeper revelation. So I'm bringing it to us because I know that it is a rhema word, a word for the now season that our Father's house is going through. And this is what the Lord spoke to me one morning as I was waking up, expecting the Christmas service and being kind of focused on the Lord with expectations for the new season. And when the Lord speaks to me, it's usually when my mind is not telling him what to say. It's in the quiet of times. That's why I think bathroom is appropriate place. You don't really dictate to the Lord, you know, as you're relaxing in some sort of state. So I'm in that state of waking up, and the Lord speaks this to me, and he says, all of me established in all of you for all of your purposes. And I thought, oh, I'll remember that. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't have to jot it down. Good thing I really jotted it down. Because I also found out when the Lord speaks to me in times like that, and you think you're going to so remember what he told you, you better jot it down, because then you don't really remember. But the profoundness of that statement, I will take you through that statement, and the Lord began to reveal it to me. And I completely believe it is a now word for us, for our Father's house, for 2012. It is all of me established in all of you, meaning God the Father, for all of your purposes. All of me established in God the Father, in all of God the Father, for all of his purposes. And since he gave me that over the Christmas holiday, I wanted to start the understanding of that statement through a Christmas scripture. If we can go to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, we can read the account of the Christmas events as they were unfolding in first century around Bethlehem. Luke 2, 8, 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby Bethlehem, where Christ was born, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they was terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you actually good news that will cause great joy for who? For all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." In the darkness of the night, the shepherds, minding their own business, experienced the tangible presence of the God Almighty. The glory of God shone around them, and their reaction was that they were afraid. Yet the tangible presence of God entered human history 2,000 years ago to fill the earth in a tangible way and to proclaim the good news that everyone has found favor with God. So in that light, I'm going to restate what the Lord showed me that morning during our Christmas holidays. All of me, experientially established in knowing your glory. That happens only when I'm thirsty and craving intimacy with God, longing to see His face. And as I experientially know the glory of God, then I'm anointed to do His purposes. So where I'm going to be taking you today, I believe we are standing at a threshold. We have purposed to establish ourselves in God's presence. The more we establish every aspect of ourselves in God's presence, and I'm talking about His tangible, not an abstract idea of God, but His experiential presence that's available to all of us this morning, the more we establish ourselves there, the more we gain credibility with Him to be anointed for His purposes. I'll repeat that so we grasp that. Unless we encounter God's face, unless His glory shines around us in a powerful, tangible way, we better don't go outside to try to minister His purposes to the dying world. We encounter His glory, and only then we are anointed to do His purposes. We establish ourselves in God the Father for all He is. But we do not just establish a small little bitty area of our lives in God the Father for all He is. But we establish all of us in all of His experiential presence. And only then He anoints us to do His purposes. All of me, established in all of Him for all of His purposes in this universe. I'm going to take three biblical examples to make it easier for us to grasp what I'm talking about. For example, Moses. You'll have some scriptures on the back of me here for you to review as we're going through that. I probably won't take the time to read all through the scriptures, but they're here for your reference so you would remind yourself of the instances I'm talking about. Moses goes along his own business in the desert, tending his flock. And he's in the wilderness. And the last place he expects to encounter the tangible, manifested presence of God. Again, I'm not talking about an abstract idea. I'm not talking about core values or morality or way of life. But I'm talking about a tangible thing you can put your hand to. Just like the light that shone around the shepherds at Bethlehem. I'm talking about that presence. The last thing that Moses expected to encounter was that tangible presence of God in the wilderness. Okay? Maybe in Egypt. Maybe in some other places. Maybe in the middle of God's people. His nation Israel. Maybe there God may show up. But not in the wilderness with all the beasts and Moses by himself to encounter the tangible presence of God. But as Moses is walking in the wilderness, what does Moses see? He sees a bush, a part of nature. It's a natural element that has been consumed by fire, but yet not consumed. This thing is burning, and he knows in the wilderness everything is so dry it's going to be consumed within seconds if fire is lit up to it. Yet this bush burns and keeps burning and keeps burning and doesn't burn away, and so he has to go check it out. And as he gets there, he realizes he's in the midst of the tangible presence of the living God. He encounters the I am God. Now that would scare him. The daylight's out with anybody. But especially if you're in the middle of the wilderness, okay? Moses began to establish his understanding about the nature of natural things into God's understanding about the nature of natural things. Follow me here. As Moses experienced the burning bush not being consumed by the fire, he understood and he experienced, experientially knew what the glory of God looked like when the glory of God suspends nature's laws. He experienced the suspension of the laws of nature when he experienced the tangible presence of God in the middle of the most unlikely place. He didn't feel that he was qualified to lead anybody then. He didn't feel that that was the best opportune place for the manifest, tangible presence of God to shine around him. Yet he experienced God in a very unusual, tangible way. He experienced that natural laws could be suspended. Do you know what that qualified him for? He encountered, experientially knew the glory of God. That qualified him to be commissioned, to be anointed for the purposes of God, where he could believe that natural laws could be suspended. And as God said, part the Red Sea, Moses said, it's done. I will do that, for he has told me that. And he also had shown me that his presence is so tangible, it's so real. I'm not believing in an abstract idea. It is not an abstract being. It is not a being that is distant from the human nature and humankind, but it is a God that intervenes in human history and is calling me to be part and to reflect His glory. So now Moses is anointed to go and do what the Lord's purposes are for him to accomplish on this earth. Encountering experientially the Shekinah glory. By the way, Shekinah is a term that rabbis coined. It's not a biblical term. It's an extra biblical term, because they couldn't put their finger on what was that thing that the prophets and Moses is describing when he talks about a tangible presence of God. So here we're going to call it a Shekinah. It is something that's tangible. It is a real presence. It is something that you can see, you can encounter, you can touch, you can experience. It is not an abstract. We do not believe in an abstract God. We believe in the reality of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit that is being manifested right now, this morning, among us. And to establish all of me into that Shekinah glory of all of Him requires that I will submit every compartment I've reserved for myself under His anointing. Because He has to really go in and work in those areas. You know what? Some of us have experienced the Lord tremendously when it comes to physical health. Okay, we've prayed. God's tangible Shekinah glory comes and heals us. How many of us have been truly healed by the tangible presence of God? Praise God. Praise God. I would be bold to assume that those of you that now raise your hands as far as being healed may not be as bold or as quick to testify that God's Shekinah glory, that He has intervened in this way in your financial life. Now, I would be the first one to do this when it comes to healing. And then you ask me about my financial circumstance, and I'll be like, I've seen it. I know. I give mental assent to the fact that He owns all the cattle and all the properties and everything on this earth. I know He has it. And I also know that whenever He wants to, He can give it to me. I'm just not quite sure when He's going to show up to do that. That is one area in my life that I'm yet to truly submit, that I'm yet to truly establish myself in His Shekinah glory. To say, God, I'm just going to give as though I own all the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm just going to really, really, God, I'm not going to look at my circumstance, but by faith, I will trust that Your glory, Your presence, can intervene in such a miraculous yet real way that it's going to deal with real problems I'm going through. This is what it means to establish all of me in all of Him for all of His purposes. Because see, I have some great testimonies in many, many, many spheres of my life. But if I have to testify on certain areas, like I just said, finances, I'm still waiting for a breakthrough. And I believe that the Lord has, and I'm very transparent, and I'm sharing this with you for illustrative purposes. 2011 has been a year where I had to go several times before the Lord and pray breakthroughs. And in the moment, as His Shekinah glory has touched me, I physically had felt His presence. I can jump and praise the Lord and say, oh, I believe for all the breakthroughs financially. And I know we're going to be debt free. Because we're still carrying consequences from selling our business and leaving all of our private possessions and going into ministry. I'm not saying that to brag at all, because it's not a bragging thing. It has taken me since 2007 to fight through establishing myself in all of Him when it comes to finances. Where I can say, I'm truly free of the worries of tomorrow. Because your Shekinah glory, your true tangible presence, is sufficient to carry me through. I don't know what is the area of your life that you're still battling with, that you have maybe a sector somewhere, a compartment you've preserved all for yourself, and you truly think that you can sustain it, that you can provide for it, that you know better. Or you may have all kinds of excuses of why God is not going to move with His Shekinah glory, with His tangible presence, to give you a breakthrough that's going to last. That you're not going to be going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth with that particular problem, but that as He touches, He completely takes it away and takes you to a new level of establishing in His glory, in His real presence. I don't know what that place is, but I know that I know, as truly as we all alive, we are still working on pieces of our lives. So there are areas that we haven't completely established in Him. And I'm telling you, when we allow ourselves to be completely established into His tangible presence, into His Shekinah glory, His breakthrough transforms. He doesn't just change, He transforms. That means that everything of the past is broken, remolded, and made new. And I have a good news for you. The potter is looking for a vessel that he can break so he can reshape, make it new, so he can anoint that new pot for his purposes. You see, if we don't have brokenness in our lives, then we are not going to be so thirsty after Him to seek for His glory, to truly shoot into this place of life, so we can establish it in Him. For all of us that are broken in many places, my challenge today is, as we go into the connection groups, let's be open and let's share and let's be determined that we will allow in 2012 the Shekinah glory, the tangible presence of God, to touch our lives in that particular area so He can bring a breakthrough. So do you know why it is so important? Because if you have not encountered the tangible presence of God, that means His Shekinah glory. If that glory has not shone around you, has not penetrated through you, has not shattered everything false that you carry, has not transformed you, that glory just really takes you into the potter's hand and remolds you. If you do not do that, He cannot anoint you for His purposes. Moses, as he encountered the tangible presence of God in the burning bush, he understood that God the Father, the I Am God, can suspend natural laws. And now he was qualified to be anointed as the most influential leader in history of humankind. Think about that. So he encountered natural laws being suspended time and time again as he led Israel to the promised land. I'm going to give you a second example. Isaiah. Think of who Isaiah was. He, within his own confession, was a man of unclean lips. He was somebody that felt totally and completely not qualified to be talked to by the Lord, and much less to be commissioned by the Lord. I want to read this, though, this scripture, because I think it's going to encourage us tremendously. It's Isaiah chapter 6, 1-8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Isaiah's account, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him was seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." The whole earth, pay attention to that, is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. That's Isaiah. "I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Do you know why he's saying that? Because the belief was that if a human sees God's glory, that human is going to be struck dead, because the human obviously falls way short of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, for the sin that the humans carry. But look at what Isaiah encountered. Isaiah, the unclean one, the sinner, the unqualified one to experientially know the glory of the Almighty. Look at what happened to Isaiah as he found himself within, surrounded by the Shekinah glory of the Almighty. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for.'" Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. It's atoned for. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And Isaiah's response was, 'And I said, Here I am, send me.'" I want to take you through the journey that Isaiah took to transition from a sinner into the most famous messianic prophet of all times. Who do you quote when you want to talk about Jesus Christ and his prophecies that really came about? Who do you talk to? It's always, we talk about Isaiah. You open so many scriptures in Isaiah, and they're so literal about Jesus Christ. Isaiah, the sinner, experienced the atoning power of the Shekinah glory. Isaiah experienced what it means that Jesus Christ would offer forgiveness and mercy to all, because he saw himself as the least of them, a sinner of sinners with unclean lips, living among those that have unclean lips. Yet he encountered the salvation power of the I Am. He encountered the Shekinah glory, the tangible presence. I'm saying all of those things because they're very important for us to understand this principle. as you establish yourself within the tangible presence of God, within the Shekinah glory of God, that qualifies you. It automatically conditions your heart to be anointed for mission, to be commissioned to go out there. So when Isaiah established his understanding of who he is within the presence, the glory of God that enveloped him, as he established himself in the fact that now his lips are clean and now his guilt is taken away and he is atoned for, he was able to write about the one that offered himself in his place for his atonement. And he became the most anointed prophet that brought the messianic news to the Jews. I'm going somewhere with those examples. In the places you allow most for the glory of God to touch you, that place becomes the most potent for God to use you, to anoint you for his purposes. It's not like that he doesn't desire for you to be used in all kinds of purposes. He does. But as humans, we develop at different rates, and within our own life, certain areas of life develop with different speed. And as we purpose to establish all of ourselves within all that God has for us, not in the abstract of God, not just giving a mental assent to some idea that's out there. I'm talking about the transformational power of God, that you would allow the transforming potter to come and break the vessel and remake it and make it into the vessel that's going to please him. Because then the glory of God that you've encountered, you would be a candidate to reflect that glory. We're going to talk about that next time, about the church that has been given the glory that Christ had, and Christ had glory that the Father gave him. Great responsibility, great honor. But we cannot reach the place where we will emanate the glory of God through our being unless we establish all of us into all of him. Take one piece at a time. All I know is too overwhelming. But I'm asking you, what is that piece today that you know, that you know, that you know, that you're reserving for yourself? You have put it somewhere behind your back, and you're saying to the Lord, I know you're merciful, I know you're great, I know you have the provision, I know you're the healer, I know you're this, and you know, I know all of the names of God, I'm going to claim them. But in reality, you haven't opened your heart to allow the glory of God to shine on that particular piece that you've preserved for yourself. Some of us talk to ourselves this way. Again, I'll be transparent and tell you how I talk to myself about finances. You know what? We just made that huge big sacrifice for the Lord. We just sold all the businesses and the house, and it wasn't really at the best economic times. You know, we really incurred losses as we did that. Praise the Lord. We just sacrificed it for the Lord. So I took this stone, put it on my shoulder and begin to carry it. But you know what? When you have a load, you know, to carry, it snowballs, unfortunately. Okay? So it had continued to snowball, and praise the Lord, we sacrificed the Lord. Yeah, we just, the Lord is pleased with my sacrifice. No, he's not. Absolutely not. Because I haven't allowed the Lord to take this heavy boulder off my shoulder and to establish this boulder at his feet and say, Jesus, you said that your yoke is light and mine is very heavy, just really breaking my arm. Can we exchange? I'd gladly take your yoke, Jesus. We make excuses for the areas we do not want to establish within the glory of God. We just think we justify things and even think God is pleased with what we are doing. My challenge today to all of us is this, and I'm not beyond the challenge, I'm part of it, and I'm disclosing my challenge to you. Let the Holy Spirit shine on those areas that you're reserving for yourself and you're not willing to establish them within the tangible glory of God. You know what? I believe that as I'm able to completely establish myself in the financial matters, specifically financial provision for debt, that specific thing. The rest of the matters are all established within me. We tithe very faithfully. We give things which, in that particular matter, I believe that as I establish myself in the grace of God, into His glory, for His breakthrough, for debt, then He will anoint me to be a breakthrough leader for many others that would be able to establish themselves within the glory of God. Isaiah was the breakthrough leader for Israel to see who the Messiah was and what He was going to bring. Moses was the breakthrough leader for Israel, for the children of God, to leave slavery and to have the courage to go through natural circumstances that was supernaturally suspended so their lives would be preserved. But they only were able to do that because they encountered the Shekinah glory. Only when you encounter the presence of God, the tangible presence of God, as you've established yourself in that presence of God, He will anoint you for all of His purposes. We will continue with that thought. I will bring this message where I'm going to talk on the anointing. Because I wanted to start with that, and the Lord stopped me. Because I needed for us to be established in the glory first. But this month we'll continue to talk about the anointing and the purposes of God for which you are anointed. Because this city, I believe, is ripe for harvest. And God is calling this church to go and reach the city. And I know that I know that I know that this community would be transformed. But it's not going to be transformed by ingenuity. It's not going to be transformed by programs. It's not going to be transformed by craftiness. It's not going to be transformed by our kindness and goodness. But it will be transformed because the tangible glory of God is going to shine from this congregation onto the community. And it's going to be seen. And it's going to be visible. And the signs and wonders would follow. Because when the glory of God hits, then people are compelled to act. So this morning, I'd like to... Michael, would you please come to the piano? I'd like for all of us to examine our hearts and to make a commitment. We are at the beginning of a new year. And as the word, as Louise shared the word, that this year would be a different year. And God has purposes for us to accomplish. I'm asking you, before God can anoint you to accomplish His purposes, you need to allow the Lord to establish you in His tangible glory. So this morning, the altars are open that we can make a commitment. For those areas that you know that you haven't allowed the Lord to shine on, that His glory hasn't been allowed full force to shine on them. Those boulders you're carrying on your shoulders, things that you justify, that you're dragging behind, that's going to break your back. You're carrying yokes and you're saying, God, what is this gospel I got myself in? Because the yoke definitely isn't light. Most of us walk like that. And my challenge this morning is, the altars are open. Come and spend some time with the Lord and commit yourself to establish yourself in all of Him for all of His purposes. Commit yourself right now this morning to encounter the real, tangible presence of God. And I want to invite those of you that are also altar workers trained to come and help me with that, because I anticipate that we're going to see some breakthroughs today. You can stand up, and those of you that would desire to come and stay before the Lord to encounter His tangible presence, let's take Him up for this invitation. Let's take Him up at His word. His word always comes with signs following. The word that you just heard this morning will be coupled with signs following. You are going to experience a breakthrough in areas that you need to release to the Lord to establish them firmly into His glory. And His glory will touch those areas and will give you victory and breakthrough in those.